You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
Oh, hi. This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast, coming to you live from Stand Up New York Labs in Manhattan, New York City. It's very exciting to be here for the 26th time. I'm one of your three hosts, Chris Flannery. I'm also joined on my right side here by one of my old friends, Joseph Noe.
Hi, guys.
And across the table, one of my new and close friends, Mr. Andrew Genelosi.
Hey, everybody.
Wow, it's very exciting to be here. Hi, guys. How's it going?
It's going good. Aside from, I'm very nervous about things not running right now, but I think we're okay.
Do you feel like you don't have as much confidence in Evan as you should?
No, it's not that. It's not Evan, but kind of it is.
Okay. It's sort of on us because we taught him, but
true.
You know, if it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well. But I will tell you this, I will straight up murder you if we don't get this episode in the can.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly
it. So that's the only penalty that you'll face. Welcome to the program, everyone. Thank you so much for all the tweets and SoundCloud comments and emails. The support that we get for the show
is amazing. Thank you.
It's amazing. It means a lot to us. We love it. We love hearing from everybody. Please continue to support us. We're going to continue to do the show. If you feel like it, share an episode on Facebook. Share it with your friends. Share around where we're getting more listens. We're getting more subscriptions. You can go to soundcloud.com/mandatorySamson. Subscribe to the podcast on there. And we'd greatly appreciate it. But things are going really well. Joe, did you get any tweets this week or anything interesting?
I got a few retweets from loyal listeners, so thank you.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's very exciting. Yeah, I got a ton of tweets this week. It was really good.
Yeah, I did too.
I actually got some stuff that we're going to talk about on the show. Our friend Megan from Toronto that always sends us different good clips.
Oh, nice.
She sent a really good... I don't watch the John Oliver show, the Last Week Tonight, but I did start DVRing it now.
Yeah.
He interviewed Edward Snowden this week.
Oh, okay.
Which was really good. Megan brought it to my attention, so I really appreciate that, and we're going to talk about a part of that interview later on in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but notice, I mean, if you're not watching on Dailymotion, you can't see it, but we have a giant thing of warheads that Andy bought today.
Yeah,
Would you care to talk about that?
Yeah, I will. I'll bring that up. I have this giant container of warheads because I was in line at a store buying this nice shirt that I'm wearing, and they had a giant thing of warheads. They had a giant thing of Smarties and a giant thing of Mike and Ike's, I believe.
Okay.
But I hadn't seen warheads since I was like 8 or 9 years old, and I remembered how much of a bastard they are to talk with them in your mouth, and so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to make Joey read stuff with a mouthful of warheads.
Yeah, Joey, are you prepared to inform the Samsonites and the Nobodies and the Androids?
I was not with the warheads. No,
yeah.
This is, this should be entertaining.
It will be, and it doubles as a piggy bank once we're done with the warheads, which I realized after I bought it. So it was like the best $8 I've ever spent.
It just makes good sense.
It does.
C-E-N-T-S. It's a piggy bank. You got it.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is the one thing that I want you to do above all else during the recording of this episode, Joey?
You want great
titles. Oh,
yes,
yeah,
that's correct.
Okay,
that's
great.
Absolutely exactly correct. All right, so make sure you do that. And
yes.
Then later in the episode, you're going to talk about a bunch of stuff that we talked about before the show, and you're going to have warheads in your mouth. I think you should just be continually eating the warheads throughout the episode. How's that?
Are we going to start now, then?
Yeah, you can start now, and then you just keep a track of how many you've eaten. I'm guessing over 14 during
all
this
right
episode.
What do you think his first flavor will be?
Blueberry, or whatever.
It's raspberry, bro.
Raspberry.
I want it to be blue raspberry.
You want it to be blue raspberry?
Yeah,
well,
can we have
it's going to be none of those. It's going to be my choice, which is the extreme sour apple, which were always my favorite. So
and
enjoy, buddy.
All right, Joey, so there you go. So I hope you survive. We'll see what happens. We'll see how many words it takes to kill somebody. Speaking of which, great segue, not to make light of this, but the first topic we wanted to get into, Andy, you had tweeted this to me. Obviously, I saw it later on, but
yeah,
you had sent me the article and the video about Walter Scott, this 50-year-old guy from North Charleston,
mm-hmm,
who was shot 8 times in the back by a white police officer and murdered.
Yep.
So that's not a great story. As far as like it fits into the narrative of like the Eric Garner, Michael Brown stuff, This is a little bit different, and here's why. Because the town is reacting appropriately. The people that are in charge are reacting appropriately. The guy that shot him, Michael Slager, he's already been charged with murder and fired from the police department. And there's appropriate response from the people that are in charge.
They're handling it correctly. That's great.
Yes. So I have the video. For those of you that haven't seen it, it's very easy to find it.
Yeah,
you can just go on YouTube or any, I'm sure a lot of sites have the video up as well. You can see what happened. We're just going to quickly watch the altercation unfold, and then we'll get into it. So this is the video of Walter Scott being murdered for no reason, really. The officer says, shots fired. Yeah. Walter L. Scott, 50, had been stopped for a broken taillight. The officer later said he feared for his life, which is absurd if you're watching the video. Meanwhile, now he's yelling at the guy he just killed with those 8 shots. You heard them. He tells him to put his hands behind his back. He's dead. He is definitely dead.
He's handcuffing him right now.
Yeah, he's currently handcuffing him, I guess, to pretend like he's not dead.
Yeah.
So this guy's fuckity fucked.
Can you go back to the beginning of the video? Because there was something, there's something weird in the beginning that I noticed, and it fits into the whole taser thing.
Sure. Yeah, let's see it. Yeah, we're going to get into like the specifics of it, but sure. What are you trying to say?
Right when he starts shooting.
I saw it.
He threw the taser.
Yeah.
No, back up a little bit.
Okay. Here. Yeah, just say when to stop.
Nope. Stop. See that? That looks like, to me, and when the video is playing, you can see it clear.
Oh, yes.
Like the string that, the taser prods are attached to.
100%.
I noticed that like from the first time I saw the video.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking at the video right now. We freeze framed it at about 20 seconds. The cop clearly has shot the guy already with a taser.
And you can see, if I'm not mistaken, I think that might be the taser. Either still on his belt, or that might be it on the ground, which wouldn't make sense
for that
really
angle.
It makes sense for where the direction it's going, but when the video is clearly playing, you can see it. It looks like the prods, the whatever that's attached to the prods of the taser.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In any event, okay, so I think basically what happened was leading up to the incident, the guy got pulled over for a broken taillight, as I said. He was wanted for, I think he had like child support payments or something.
Yeah, that's
he had
what it was, for child support.
So he gets pulled over, and obviously he's 50 years old. He's scared. He doesn't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
So he ran. Okay, there was a bit of an altercation. The cop did shoot him with the taser. The cop later claims that Walter Scott tried to steal the taser from him.
He said he got it from him.
That he got it from him, which isn't true. You can see that it's not
well,
true.
And then let's keep playing the video, because he goes and gets the taser and then drops it next to him.
Right. Yeah, which is even which is even more fucked up. And there's a guy filming it that happens to be there,
and he looks over right there and sees the guy filming.
Yes,
it. He notices it.
Yes, and I will say this though, for people that like, because this shit keeps happening, and we're gonna be filming these occurrences, don't zoom. And this maybe sounds like a joke. I'm not joking. Don't zoom in with your camera.
No, don't.
Stay with the wide shot, and then just try to get as close as possible and stay still, because the video can be enhanced later.
Exactly.
And you can see what happens, because this is extremely shaky, and if it wasn't so cut and dry, you might miss a part of it.
Okay. Yeah. So here we have the police officer running back to where he was standing when he fired the shots. He picks something up off the ground, and now he's walking back over, or is about to be walking back over.
Yeah, he walks over, and it appears as though he tries to plant the taser next to the guy to corroborate the story.
He has the taser in his hand right now. The guy's kind of putting his camera down because he's obviously getting nervous. The cops are looking at him. And there.
Yeah, it says, the video says the officer drops an object near Mr. Scott, which is a taser.
It is. So you can see the yellow of it. It's the black and yellow standard issue police taser.
So he's trying, obviously,
which Darren Wilson didn't have.
No, which probably could have potentially saved somebody's life. But that's okay. But anyway, all right, so that's basically the important part of the video, although at this point, you can see that they're not trying to resuscitate the guy. They know he's dead, but they're acting as though he's not. It's just another ridiculous situation. what do you think, Andy? Do you, to me, it doesn't seem like it's racially motivated, but I think the argument that's always made is that if that was a white guy running, would they have shot him 8 times in the back? Maybe not.
No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, there is no excuse when somebody's running away from you, you can't shoot them. Like, that's just the way it is. When Walter was running away, unless he had already shot at him and was like running away, then you could maybe make the argument if he still had a gun in his hand and like had turned around, shot, and then run.
Yeah,
maybe. But that's not what happened. They had a light altercation. The guy got away from him, and then he shot him 8 times.
Right.
So like that's, there's no excuse for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to that gun.
No, and if it was a white guy, probably wouldn't happen. In my opinion, I don't know. That's just, I don't know the guy obviously, but
right.
That's just what I believe.
Yeah, I mean that's. Speculation, but that's something that has been talked about quite a bit, where it's like, why is this excessive use of force used against people of color, particularly black people? Yeah. And it happened with Tamir Rice. We saw it. He's a kid.
Yeah.
And they didn't even ask any questions. They just shot him dead.
Pulled up and shot him.
Right. Would that happen if it was a little white kid? Maybe not. Probably not.
Probably not.
The thing I don't understand is how the cop said that he felt threatened. Like, how could he possibly feel threatened? Not only that, then you have a 50-year-old man turn the other way and run away from you.
Right.
How far could he really have got? Like, there's no reason to shoot him in the
back. Well, he didn't get that far. He got, like, you know.
He was, like, 20 feet away from him. The officer stopped, planted his feet, unholstered his weapon, and shot him.
Yes.
Like, took aim with both hands and shot him 8 times.
The thing is, if you could shoot that guy 8 times in the back, you could shoot him twice in the leg and stop him and not kill him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that I'm saying that he should have been shot at all.
No, but still, like, you're obviously in any situation, whether you're a pedestrian like trying to make the argument of self-defense or a police officer, when somebody's turning and running away from you and is 20 feet away from you with their back turned, you can't shoot them.
No,
you're gonna go to jail for that.
Absolutely.
And you should.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, good response from what the hell's the guy's name, Mayor Keith Summey. He immediately fired this guy, the cop, and charged him with murder. So, well, the mayor didn't, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's good. The other thing is that they reacted extremely quickly. They've announced that they're going to get body cameras for every officer in the force, and they're just going to be wearing them from now on because video makes a difference, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if there was no video of this, highly likely this guy does not get arrested or charged with anything.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. There would have been probably a 90% chance that he walked on it if there was no video of it.
Absolutely, yeah. Because it's just their accounts. It's the
exactly.
Dead man, which is always the case. It's
a
always
dead
the
black
dead...
man and a white police
exactly.
officer.
Exactly, so who do you think is going to get believed there?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Joey, you got any thoughts about that? I mean, this is a weird one because I feel bad that the guy got killed. The altercation, yeah, shouldn't have happened. You're right. He shouldn't have run away probably, but that's not a justification to kill the guy.
Mm.
And also, you watch the video. He's not running fast at all. They
no.
could have caught the guy. A couple more steps, they would have caught him, tackle him, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He opted to go to shoot him. The other thing about it that's interesting that I think we talked about with one of the shootings, I can't remember what it was, we're so desensitized because of movies or whatever that you're used to seeing these huge reactions when people get shot. And it's
yeah,
a big dramatic
yeah.
thing. He just looks like he's getting like stung by a bee. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And he just drops down.
He like high steps and then he falls and that's it. That guy's life is over at that point.
Yeah, and he falls kind of slowly too. Like
right.
that last shot really like puts him down, but he just kind of slows down and like just eventually crumbles and
yeah.
he's dead right there. Like you can tell when the cop finally gets over to him and goes to handcuff him, like he's been dead.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Point.
When he hits the ground, he's
yeah.
dead. And people were, I was reading, people were critiquing that they didn't try to do any like CPR.
No,
or anything.
They didn't.
Because they know he's dead.
Yeah, there's no yeah. point.
Or maybe they don't, and that's another fuck up, and they should have tried to do something. But you should have got 8 times in the back. You kind of know you probably got him. So, anyway, so this is a 50-year-old guy, you know, dead for no reason. And it's another case of white officer shoots black man. So we'll see what happens. I think the difference in this one, I'm sure it's going to cause outrage as it should. The difference is that justice seems like it will be done in this case.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bring the life back, but.
Well, they still got to convict him, which I'm hoping, you know, with this response that it won't be an issue and they'll just do it quickly, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know, but at least there's charges, you know, like
yeah, that's true.
We're not fighting to get somebody at least have a charge.
To the next step.
Yeah. at least right. looked at for it.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, there's not too much more to say about that. We watched the video. If you guys haven't seen it, you can check it out. It's pretty cut and dry. I mean, almost unanimously, I've seen people calling it murder. It is what it is. Like, mm-hmm. he shouldn't have done it, and that's it. Did you finish that first warhead? How was that?
It's only sour.
He's still got it rattling around.
Well, I
we'll
do
give
still
him another one.
It.
That's the sweet part now. He can have another one. All right, so this is number two. What color we got?
I'll let you pick this one.
Ooh. Do yellow.
Yellow.
Oh, nice. Right. A lemon warhead. I had one before. It's a rancid bastard in your mouth. It's terrible.
I think I had a lemon one, too. I'm going to have one also.
Okay, great. It's not enjoyable. Okay. So, all right. So that's out of the way. We'll keep our eye on it, obviously, but I think that is kind of what it is. The next thing I wanted to talk about, because this was big news that we had been talking about leading up to when it was announced, the Iran nuclear deal framework has come out.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of back and forth about whether Congress should have say in the framework, whether they should have veto power over it, whether they should be able to edit it or whatever. I don't think they should. Like we talked about, I don't think Congress should have something to do with our foreign policy to that extent. That's not necessarily what we're going to get into. Mm-hmm. I want to just run down briefly little descriptions of what the framework is so you can hear without any spin, without any bullshit. This is what the deal does.
Yeah, this is what it is.
Because you're going to hear a lot about this is a bad deal, where, and I have some quotes that we mm-hmm. can read at the end of it, but you're hearing a lot back and forth. But to me, the details of this deal are a good deal because people think that Iran is building a bomb anyway. Mm-hmm. They don't think that they're going to listen because of the sanctions or anything like that. So why not try to put a deal in place that would at least lessen it or limit their ability to do something that you think they're going to do anyway? It's a no-lose situation. Mm-hmm. You might as well try to put a deal in place. So what, Jay?
Were you gonna say something?
Oh, okay. All right. So basically, here's the framework. And this is a good article that I read on Vox, which is a website I've been going to recently. And they just broke it down really simply. And then I broke it down even further. So as far as centrifuges are concerned, which is where you would enrich uranium, Iran will be allowed about 6,000 centrifuges, 5,000 at one facility and then 1,000 at this Fordo facility, which was like a hidden one that they had been using for many years. Okay. But now it's open. And we know what's there, and it's open to inspections. So they'll have about 6,000 centrifuges down from 20,000 that it currently operates, and they can only use the first generation, which is like a much shittier model than the newer technologies that they could be using. So it drastically limits their ability to enrich uranium. To that point, it is, as far as uranium enrichment is concerned, they will be allowed to enrich uranium only to 3.67%, which you can use as nuclear fuel, but is not the amount that you would need to enrich to create a nuclear bomb. That number is 90% enrichment. Okay. So that's a vast, vast cavern between a nuclear bomb and the amount of uranium that they're able to enrich, which seems pretty cut and dry to me. But a lot of people are complaining, well, they can still enrich uranium, they can make a bomb. No, they can't. If they're going over 3.67%, we're going to know. We have inspections there, and we can definitely tell. Okay, so that's right off the bat, that's great. As far as their stockpile is concerned, they will be required to reduce the stockpile of enriched uranium from 10,000 kilograms to 300 kilograms, which is 97% of its nuclear arsenal. Okay? Down. Perfect. That sounds like a good thing to me. Plutonium, which is the other thing that you can enrich to create a nuclear bomb. Iran will be required to rebuild its plutonium plant at Arak such that it will only make energy-grade plutonium and will ship out its spent plutonium. It is barred from heavy water reactor use, which is what you would do to enrich it. Mm-hmm. It will now only make nuclear fuel. Okay, so far, sounds good. I don't know what the problem is that people have. It's just that they don't trust Iran, but okay, you didn't trust them before the deal was in place, so what difference
does
it
make? Why not just do it?
Exactly. Inspections. This is a key one. The International Atomic Energy Agency will have access to Iran's nuclear sites, the uranium mines and mills, centrifuge plants, and supply chains. It will monitor dual-use technologies. It can access, quote, suspicious sites. Inspectors will be in a really good position to make sure Iran isn't cheating on a deal or trying to build another secret facility somewhere. If Iran does try to cheat, the world will be much more likely to know. Okay, so we will be much more likely to know whether Iran is trying to cheat, enrich uranium, or build more plants after the deal, not before the deal.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so why would you be against that deal? Fine. Another quote, and then we can just get to some of the negative reaction to it. It's not something that we really need to get into. It's just important to know the facts about this thing. If this deal is fully implemented, and this is from Bloomberg News, I think, so not exactly liberal, right? If this deal is fully implemented, Iran will be unable to build a nuclear bomb by enriching uranium or by reprocessing plutonium for a decade. Some of the restrictions imposed by this deal would last for 15 years, and the international inspections of certain aspects of Iran's nuclear program would stay in place for 25 years. So basically for at least, let's say at least a decade, Iran is going to be watched carefully, monitored whether they're breaking the terms of the deal or not, and it's a much more open society than at that point. In 25 years, you would hope that like the young regime in Iran will have taken more of a power role in that government and would probably change the culture of that place. Because right now it's not a very democratic place, but there are a ton of young people there that are ready for a change.
Yes.
And this is, I think, a good step when they can see that a deal could be done with the West. Iran and the United States could be allies. We can't look at it as like they are our enemy forever. No. They might be for now, or we might view them that way, but let's try to get to a point where there can be positive relations between us.
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't we want that?
Absolutely. The other good thing about the 25 years is hopefully by then they might not be as reliant on the nuclear energy, and maybe that would be an alternative fuel source by then.
Possibly,
too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you would hope that over time, all over the world, nuclear stockpiles would be dropped down. We have thousands. We have 5,000 nuclear bombs. Yeah. It would take like 20 to just destroy the world completely. So we don't need 5,000.
No.
Ideally, the number that every country would have would be zero, because we can't trust that the, you know, because of all the conflicts that are going to take place with global warming and all this stuff, it's not a good idea to have thousands and thousands of nuclear bombs.
No, and the whole thing is like, well, so what? Somebody shoots off one. Somebody else shoots one back.
Right.
And then somebody else shoots off one. And then, like, dude, if we start, if those ever start getting launched, like, that, like, the world will end.
100%. It's mutually assured destruction. That's the
absolutely
idea.
You know? Like, you think somebody's going to let one fly and then somebody's going to throw one back, obviously.
Of course.
And then somebody else's, their ally, is going to throw one at, you know, fuck this country too.
Absolutely.
And that's gonna be it. The
yes
gonna...
Well, we'll be that country, you know what I mean? Like, if anything ever happened with the nuclear bomb against us, we're going to launch an attack that will truly
decimate everything except
yes
for us.
Yes.
Maybe.
And we'll already be fucked up anyway,
right?
Because somebody launched one at us. So
it's in everybody's best interest, and by everybody I mean humans. It's in humans' best interest
to all just take it easy with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To lower the amount of nuclear weaponry that's out there. And if you can get Iran, who we're worried about, to not build one,
fantastic.
Then even better. And to me, this deal seems like a good deal.
It's sad that we're getting to the point of like where the world could seriously be the plot of like an Austin Powers movie.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I totally understand what you're saying. Yes. Like, I mean, India and Pakistan, that's a fucking nightmare waiting to happen.
Yeah.
They both have nuclear weapons. That could be a huge problem.
And they're such nice people normally.
So some of them are, yeah. Real quick, U.S. statement on sanctions, because this is a Fox News talking point. People that are conservative that I've read, they are concerned because they're like, the sanctions are working on Iran. Basically, what the sanctions are doing is just decimating the middle class of Iran. The population doesn't eat and they don't have food and jobs and things like that. It's not really hurting the mullahs or the ayatollahs. They're fine.
Yeah.
If at any time Iran fails to fulfill its commitments, the sanctions will snap back into place. It also noted that U.S. sanctions related to terrorism, human rights abuses, and ballistic missiles will not be lifted. So there's still significant amount of sanctions on Iran. The ones related to the nuclear program are temporarily lifted. I mean, I don't know if they've been lifted yet because the deal isn't actually in place, but they'll be gradually removed.
Yeah.
And again, because a lot of people were worried, well, if we take them off, China and Russia will not be willing to put sanctions back on Iran. Well, there's a provision in place where those sanctions would sort of just be hanging in limbo. And if you trip the wire, then they snap back into place and you don't have to worry about going through a whole new UN resolution or anything. Okay? So that should alleviate concerns about that. These are some negative responses, just two of them that I found.
All right, here we go.
That's basically how we'll wrap it up. Senator Mark Kirk, a Republican from Illinois, declared that former British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain, quote, got a better deal from Adolf Hitler at Munich.
Seriously?
It's a little hyperbolic, wow. Right? I mean, that's...
I like it.
I know. Well, he really went for it there. Ridiculous. And then Benjamin Netanyahu says that the final deal based on this framework, quote, would threaten the survival of Israel. Sure, why not? Because it seems as though Netanyahu thinks that everything other than just Israel living there...
It threatens it.
Threatens
of course
Israel.
It does.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, how would something that does... Like, okay, say they put the deal in place and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
You're right where you were.
Yeah.
If you put the deal in place and these things are achieved over time, that puts Israel in a much better position. Right? Like,
how
politically...
Because there would be no threat, because everybody's happy. One country has a nuclear power.
Right.
No one's uprising. The potential of there being a weapon is dramatically declined. Everyone wins.
Yeah, well, that's how I see it. And I think if you don't have a political motivation and you're more interested in, you know, everybody staying alive, I think this is a good deal. So,
yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts on that, Andy? Or, I mean, it's pretty straightforward,
right? Everybody living is what I'm going with.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in on that as well.
I mean, I figure at the end of the day, we can all agree that we hate each other a good amount, but we'd all rather be alive than, you know, dead from...
Well, that's the
war.
Thing, right? I mean, it's just so obvious that if there's nuclear weapons, like a ton of nuclear weapons floating around, like
we're all going to die.
Right.
If that starts, it's only going to end one way.
Yes.
With everybody.
Yes,
gone.
100%. The next nuclear bomb that is detonated is going to be the last nuclear bomb. You know what I mean?
Well, not like, the.
But it's going to start
the beginning
reaction.
Of the end. Yeah, because yeah. It can only be a chain reaction.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure the U.S. has something in place where if they know if a nuclear bomb is detonated, we probably have like automatic one. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
we have
one that's just
ready
off.
To go. Yeah.
Yay. All right.
So anyway, so that's, what is that? The third one? What do you got?
Third one, Blue Raspberry. Blue
yeah,
raspberry.
All right. Yeah. You're waiting for it. How are those? You enjoying this?
They're all right. They're
only sour for like a minute. It's actually more of a pain in the ass to have it in your mouth like the hard candy for 5 minutes.
That's true. Can I have one?
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I'm thinking maybe later on we'd try to throw three in my mouth or something and I try to read it.
Yeah.
Sure. I think that's a terrific idea. I really like that. All right. So basically that's it with the Iran deal. Nothing. We don't have to get into the minutiae of people that are like really against it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be interesting to see whether Congress does get involved in vetoing this or editing parts of it out. Although I don't know why they would. Again, it's just it seems political to me. But
has anyone from Congress actually state what they would rather have the alternative be? Like, why isn't it not a good deal?
Well, that's the thing. They haven't really... Nobody's really said specifically this is not a good deal. Basically, what the argument is that we don't trust Iran. Why would Iran do this? Yeah. Well, maybe they would do it because they are tired of sanctions and they actually want to be part of the world's community. I don't know. Andy's just... if you hear it in the background, Andy's just rustling around a million warheads for Joey later.
Those are just for everybody to grab throughout the show. Warheads, we'd like a sponsorship if you could.
Oh, that'd be great. Nice. Speaking of which, Polar Seltzer Triple Berry tastes a little bit like cotton candy. I'm really enjoying it. Evan, if we can get a little close-up on that, if you guys are watching on Daily Motion. Thank you very much. Polar Seltzer, a delicious treat all day long. All right. all right, so the next thing I wanted to get into, and this is sort of like the... meat of what I wanted to talk about. Like I mentioned, Megan from Toronto, one of our best commenters and you know, listeners, she sent me this John Oliver episode that I watched. We're not going to listen to the whole episode, but he ends up going to Russia and he interviews Edward Snowden.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. It's very cool that he went there and it's good to see Snowden's doing well. It's like a 3-minute chunk of the interview that I wanted to get to. I would encourage everybody to at least watch the full interview part because it's interesting to see him talk, but it is what it is. There's a part in this, and I told the guys before the show and they called me gay and whatever, but when I was watching it, honestly, I got teared up a little bit, and the reason why I did is because I feel bad, and you'll see as we get into the
clip.
Because
you're a homo.
Look, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not. I'm straight, but if I was homosexual, I'd be gay and proud. I would be very gay and proud.
I know, I can tell.
Okay. I would be extremely flamboyant. So anyway, the part of this is they're talking about, you know, the impact of what he's released. And John Oliver shows Snowden clips of Americans that he asked him a couple of questions, and we'll see it as we get into it, and you guys can hear it. And it's sad. It makes me sad. It hurts me to watch this guy, Snowden, who is, in my opinion, a patriot and a hero, not a traitor. Face the reality that maybe what he did didn't have the impact that he thought he did. And that really bothers me. So we'll get into it, and then we'll read a little bit of Megan's email, but that's fine. Let's get into the interview. This is just a portion of the nightly show, not the nightly show, the Last Week Tonight with John Oliver interviewing Edward Snowden.
With a lower technical skill set than you.
That's true, but they do understand, just like you and I do, just how important it is to get this right.
So the New York Times took a slide, didn't redact it properly, and in the end, it was possible for people to see that something was being used in Mosul. on Al-Qaeda.
That is a problem.
Well, that's a f*** up.
Mm. It is a f*** up, and these things do happen in reporting. In journalism, we have to accept that some mistakes will be made. This is a fundamental concept of liberty.
Right, but you have to own that then. You're giving documents with information you know could be harmful, which could get out there.
Yes. If people act in bad faith.
You're not even talking about bad faith. You're talking about incompetence.
We are. But you will never be completely free from risk if you're free. The only time you can be free from risk is when you're in prison.
I love that line so much. I tweeted that after. Oh, this warhead is abysmal, by the way. Yeah. It's terrible. I love that line because he's right. If you really live in a free society, you can't, like we've talked about, you can't have clamps on everything. That's the risk you run of being free. What he means by in prison, yeah, we have the NSA and all this surveillance and stuff like that. We are in a prison. And that's the idea. We tried to put the world under control. And that is not actually freedom. You have to accept the fact that there are risks involved in a free society. That people are going to get offended. Some people are going to get hurt, but if you can have an honest exchange of ideas, then maybe you get to a better place where this shit is lessened. But it's not going to be done through force or through surveillance. It's not the proper way to do it.
While the risks were significant, Snowden himself has made it clear he feels the rewards have been worth it. You said in your letter to Brazil, I was motivated by a belief that the citizens of the world deserve to understand the system in which they live. My greatest fear was that no one would listen to my warning. Never have I been so glad to have been so wrong. How did that feel?
I was initially terrified that this was going to be a three-day story. Everybody was going to forget about it. But when I saw that everybody around the world said, whoa, this is a problem. We have to do something about this. It felt like vindication.
Even in America?
Even in America. And I think we're seeing something amazing, which is if you ask the American people to make tough decisions, to confront tough issues, to think about hard problems, they'll actually surprise you.
Okay.
That's great.
Here's the problem. I did ask some Americans, and boy, did it surprise me.
I will say before we get into this, because it's the part that did bother me, because you can see Snowden's face in the interview, and like it bothers him, and it made me upset. People are like, it's a comedy show, I get it.
Yes.
But like this, while it's funny, while I get what he's doing, it's not funny. Like,
no.
And that's the thing. That's sort of the, I don't know what it was. I was in a mood. Who knows why it affected me that way. But it's just like, it's not funny because you're looking at a guy that really risked his everything to benefit his country, which he obviously loves. And I think he's a super sincere guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a joke that people don't know who he is, you know? So anyway, keep that in mind. Yeah, it's funny. Laugh at it. That's fine. But to an extent, it's not funny. It bothers me. But anyway, these are the reactions that Americans had when they asked some questions about Snowden.
I have no idea who Edward Snowden is.
You've never heard of Edward Snowden?
No.
I have no idea who Edward Snowden is.
I've heard the name. Uh-huh. I just can't think right now exactly what it is.
Well, he sold some information to people.
He revealed some information that shouldn't have been revealed.
Edward Snowden revealed a lot of documents through WikiLeaks.
Edward Snowden revealed a bunch of secrets, I guess, or information into WikiLeaks.
Edward Snowden leaked. He's in charge of WikiLeaks.
I'm in charge of WikiLeaks.
Not ideal. I guess on the plus side, you might be able to go home because it seems like no one knows who the f*** you are or what the f*** you do.
You can't expect everybody to be uniformly informed.
So did absolutely you do this true. To solve a problem?
It is, but that was just like mean. Like, and I get the show is like, it's supposed to be funny, but like why? Like you always get the feeling that they're kind of picking on the people they interview.
Yes.
Why pick on this dude? Like, why not give him, like, you could have shaped that interview to at least put him in a more favorable light.
You're right, and that's what bothered me about that point. The if you keep watching the episode, John Oliver asked people, Basically, his point was it's too complicated an issue for like the average person to really understand because they don't understand the magnitude of it, whatever. But if you put it in the context of, have you sent a dick pic recently? And they go, yeah, I sent one. They go, okay, the government can see that. And then he goes through all the programs and he asks Snowden, based on this program, how can they see the dick pic? And he explains like, oh, in this program they can, this program they can. And people are uniformly like, no, that's a violation of my privacy, whatever.
Yeah, and that, yeah.
So that's the point of it. And it does kind of like, to your point, Andy, yes, that is mean, but then it kind of like turns around to that extent. Like he explains that your dick pics can be seen through all these programs. And maybe these things were put in like not this high-minded concept that he's talking. Yes. Maybe if you put it on that type of level, people would care more about it. Possibly. I don't. People are idiots anyway. They'll just ignore it. But like, they do kind of give him some comeuppance on it. But I just want to get to Megan's email. She said, "Hi again, Chris, Andy, and Joey." Look at that. Hey. She included you, Joe.
Yay.
Chris, I shared with you John Oliver's interview with Ed Snowden, and you responded. I tweeted back to her. I said, watch the video. Definitely funny. But it does bother me how irrelevant Snowden is to the average person in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And she says, I had to email and tell her that I couldn't agree more. The sorrow and utter defeat in his face when Americans reveal they don't know who he is heart-wrenching. And I agree.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, that really did bother me. Why are so many Americans under the impression that he had something to do with WikiLeaks? Guys, any thought on why do they think that Edward Snowden is Julian Assange?
Because it was around the same time.
They're not around the same time.
No, it's because it was just leaked information. That's the only reason I think they're the same people.
Right. It's a failure of our media. This is what I said to her in my email back to Megan. I said it's like a failure of our media, first of all, to just generally inform people.
Yeah, well, obviously.
And then it's also a willingness on the part of certain media organizations, Fox, different columnists, things like that, to say that this guy is a traitor. He's not a hero. It's also on the part of the White House. The White House released statements saying that he should be tried. This is illegal what he did. He's not viewed in a way, in a positive light. So people just associate WikiLeaks, which was bastardized for what they did. And they just put it together and they go, oh yeah, documents, blah, blah, blah. It's the Snowden's Assange, which is infuriating. And that's what hurts me to pay attention to this. But anyway, okay. The man tried so hard to find a credible journalist and documentary film director to help him articulate his information as responsibly as possible. Correct. And he did. It seems as though all he really needed was a clever marketing team to portray him as your friendly neighborhood sexy man. Cute. A picture is worth 1,000 words. And in America, a dick pic is worth 1,000 NSA documents. Go figure. Because that's the end result of the thing where it's like, oh, if he just said, see, but this is the thing. Like, that's a comedy bit. Yeah, maybe people would care for a day. That, oh no, they saw my dick pic. But then you know what people would say? Well, I don't send dick pics, so I'm not worried about it. The same thing with the Jennifer Lawrence thing when all those came out.
Yeah,
they go, well, she shouldn't have done it. That's people's response in America. Nobody cares unless it actually happens to them in a lot of cases. Okay. And that's what I fight against and I hope is coming across when we record these episodes. You have to care for everybody else. And you have to even care for people that you don't agree with, because if their rights get taken away, that's also taking your rights away if you wanted to do something they disagree with. Right? That's the thing. You have to fight for everybody's right, even if it's ugly and you don't necessarily agree with them. It's important. Okay? She goes, Megan continues, as you guys know, I'm from Toronto. We sure do. And you might find it interesting to know that Snowden is the talk of the town here. I do find that interesting. Way to live in a nice society.
Yeah.
I took a history of modern espionage class last year. Our instructor spent 2 hours discussing his impact specifically and the state of intelligence and national security in a post 9/11 world more broadly, which
that sounds like a very cool class.
It definitely does.
I would love to take that.
Absolutely. Maybe we should start one here.
Maybe we should.
We're going to get to some 9/11 related in a little bit, but we'll get to that in a minute. I just wanted to read this final part and then we can kind of move on, but I'd encourage people to check out the video. Snowden has come up outside of classrooms in recent weeks as well, because Canadians are being confronted with their very own Patriot Act. Bill C-51 has been proposed by the Harper government and is now being scrutinized by the House Public Safety Committee. And then she put a link where you can read about it and whatever. So thank you, Megan. Thank you very much again. Always very insightful. And also, congratulations, she started writing a column on the NATO Council of Canada's website. She said she was inspired by the Mandatory Samson podcast. So good
for
you.
Thank you.
Really cool to hear. Like I told you, I'm going to read the your column. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I will read that. So Megan, thank you very much.
Thank
anybody else that wants to email us, mandatorysamson@gmail.com. We really appreciate it. And who knows, you might end up on the program. So anyway, Joe, you got any, I don't know, you got any thoughts when you watch that? Like, how do you feel about it? You see what I'm saying?
No,
right?
I totally understand what you're saying, and I actually feel horrible too when you have this man who gave up everything to sit there and be to be made fun of by some comedian by holding a laptop and playing people who don't know who he is ridiculous.
And some fucking British comedian, too. You don't like it, love it, or leave it, buddy. That's how I feel. I always say that.
Always.
Yeah, no, I know. And I mean, I get it. It's a joke. But that was always something that bothered me, even with The Daily Show or Colbert. Like, yeah, they are shining a light on things. But the Jon Stewart, to me, never went the extra one step that I needed him to take.
Yeah.
Where he would always stop short at joking. He would never actually
take that extra leap,
where he's now a leader. He would never put himself in the position of being a leader. He, amazing social commentary, did shine a light on a lot of things and did some stuff for veterans and people, first responders for 9/11. Of course, he did a lot of good work. But for my taste, he never took it that one step further where it's like, okay, now this guy's doing good for society as a whole as opposed to just being entertainment.
Right.
He never wanted to do that. And fine.
But, and that seems to be the locking point today.
What?
That no one's willing to take that one.
No, everybody wants to just be entertaining, and nobody wants to actually make a point and try to make a difference.
No, but that's the point of the show, man. You can't expect him to do that.
But the point of the show, well before he took over, was just be funny. Then he took it to a political level. If you're going to go that far, if you're going to have the rally for truth or whatever, remember?
Yeah.
Go for it. Fucking do it. Stop just pretending to be, or stop being...
Quit pussyfooting around.
Quit pussyfooting around. Exactly. And John Oliver, I think, has taken it now even closer to that level, but he's still not quite there. But at least he did put Snowden on TV, and it's given the guy a little,
true.
Whatever. Like, keep the guy in your consciousness as you're going about these things, because he's a crucial figure, and I think he deserves a lot of respect for what he did. Okay. So that's basically it. I have, let's see. I mean, how far are we in? 42? Yeah, we got time. We're doing good. Okay, this is quick. Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, the little son of a bitch that was involved in the Boston Marathon bombing, he has been found guilty of 30 counts regarding the bombing, and now they're deciding whether they're going to execute him or not. I'm good either way, but at least he's found guilty, and that's fine. So,
yeah.
That's that. I'm using that as a jump-off point into this next thing, which is interesting, and I told Andy before the show, this is something you two are going to have to guess something.
Ooh, okay? I love guessing.
I know. Okay.
What?
See, I just let that one go. You see, I didn't
yell at him. Yeah. You're doing better.
Thank you. All right. So, since 9/11, this report came out from the Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing think tank, and this was on Fox News. Yes, I do go on foxnews.com just to see what the fuck's going on over there. They released this article.
Okay.
Since 9/11, how many... Oh, you guys are seeing it. How many terror plots, and we'll go one at a time, how many terror plots do you think have been either foiled or found out about that would have taken place in the United States since 9/11?
No, the... like true terror plots, like the whole thing ran through, like
like
foiled terror plots,
right? Things that they have intercepted, like they found out some of them did go
and
through,
stopped it,
like the Boston bombing. The Boston bombing is one of them that counts.
That they didn't.
How is that foiled?
No, I'm saying either ones that did take place, or ones that they found out about and did foil.
Okay. All right, so we got to pick out
terror plots all together.
Boston bombing counts. The Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, is one of them. You know, things like that, or things that you just found out about that didn't actually happen.
Okay,
that we didn't.
All right.
Okay, so Joey, would you like to guess first?
I'm gonna go eight.
Eight. All right, go ahead, Andy.
I have no idea.
Right, which is interesting because it's something that is always talked about in America. Oh, terrorism this, terrorism
right,
that.
Right.
You don't have any idea how many they fucking...
No, and you would like to think if they do stop a lot of them, then they don't want the media to get a hold of it. You
right.
know, they want us to think we're safe as much as possible.
Yes. But they also want us to think that we're not safe.
True.
But also, you would hope that there wouldn't be a need for that there aren't individuals out there who are trying
to
have
terror plots.
Oh, but I think
there
are. No, but I know there are people doing it. Yeah. But to me, I'll say this before you guess. The number is where I think it should be. Like, that's the number that I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And and it also feeds into how I think, yeah, they're over-exaggerating this threat. So I gave you a little bit of a hint there. Eight is too low, dummy, but...
29.
Okay, it's 64.
I was going to say 72. Damn it.
Shit, that would have been nice. So, okay. So
64?
64. to me, that doesn't seem like the type of problem where we have to violate all of the American citizens' rights to stop.
Since how many other countries? Like, did they shine any? No, did they shine any light on though? Like, maybe like Britain's had like X amount of terror plots against them. Like,
no, it didn't say that.
I would be interested to see like how like what's the norm for most countries.
Mm. Yes, that you're right. I probably should have got the information on that. Well, no. We'll update it next week. But okay, so 64 terror plots since 9/11. To me, that seems like a reasonable number. Like, you know that people are trying to attack America. You know that you know, there are people out there that are trying to do fucked up things. To me, 64 seems like, yeah, that's probably what it's always been.
It seems a little low to me, though.
Well, you guessed 8, so.
Well, I was guessing that people wouldn't be trying to do it, but for 20 years, that seems...
Yeah, 15
years. It's been 14.
Yeah, 15 years. But, okay. But here, I have a couple of examples.
True. Actually, I was thinking like 64 this past year.
Right.
No, it's 14 years. That's not bad. That's like...
Yeah, it's reasonable. Yeah. It's like, 10. I don't know. I can't
It's like
either.
8 a year.
Right, exactly. Right.
I was going to say, actually, it is kind of close to 80.
It's like 6 a year, right? It's less than 6. So that's not even bad.
No, that's okay.
These are some of the examples. December 2001, failed shoe bomber, like I said, Richard Reed, which... Okay, he got to the airport and got on the plane. Hmm? Why don't we just beef up that type of security? Like,
we already did beef up that
but
security.
But obviously, it's not. It's all it does is make people take off their shoes. But they didn't make him take his shoes off. Oh, is that why that started?
Yes.
Okay, well, but that's stupid. All right, fine. So they caught Richard Reed.
He puts a bomb in their shoe.
This idiot. Yeah. And then he tried to set it on fire.
With matches.
Right. Now, listen to some of these. This is what's interesting. So the number 64, which isn't a high number to me, that seems reasonable.
No, it seems
But right. Then if you take some of the ones that they're counting as things that they stopped.
Yeah.
It's no, like, give me one.
Like somebody had like 12 ounces of shampoo instead of 8. And they're like, hey, guy.
Exactly. That's exactly.
They're all like high-fiving and shit.
May 2002, radicalized former gang member Jose Padilla was arrested for allegedly plotting to detonate, quote, a dirty bomb.
The hell is it? He farted?
Yeah, he ate a bunch of, he shit his pants and then lit it on fire.
I don't think that's what they mean.
Arrested for plotting to detonate. So it's like he didn't even do it. Okay, so that's not, all right. That's not.
So they found a notebook with like, I kind of want to blow up an airport.
Exactly. Yes. So that.
And they were like, all right, we got another one.
Are you scared about that? Do we think that we need like armed guards all over the place because of shit like that? Lyman Ferris of Columbus, Ohio, arrested for conspiring to destroy the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, is that in the planning phase? Are we going to count planning phase?
Absolutely.
But that's absurd.
That's intense.
That's pre-production. You can't count that. Like,
they're still doing rewrites of the script at that point.
If he's still in Ohio. He's never even been to New York at this point.
Right. Yeah. So if you stop a guy in Ohio who wants to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge, did you really stop a terror plot, or is that you're calling terrorism?
And to be fair, the Brooklyn Bridge is probably the only bridge the kid actually knows by name in New York.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like way, way back there. He's like, oh, Brooklyn Bridge, that's famous. I'll blow that up. No.
Yeah. Let me find one more that's just ridiculous. See, it's all like planning to bomb. Yeah. There's a lot of people I bet planning to bomb, but okay. Alton Nolan, a lone wolf radical who had frightened coworkers at an Oklahoma meatpacking company with his with his Islamic extremist rantings, decapitated a woman he worked with before a company executive could shoot him. He is awaiting trial. That's not a terror plot. That's a nut who cut somebody's head off.
Yeah.
That's a murderer.
That's a crazy person, who shouldn't have been working in a meatpacking place?
In Oklahoma.
Dangerous.
Fucking Oklahoma every week. But you know what I mean? Like, is that really something that we should be worried about? That's not 9/11. That's not a 9/11 type thing.
No.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, the overreaction to 9/11 has caused myriad problems throughout the world. And this is just an example of that we're probably wasting resources. They also go on to say... the Heritage Report said legitimate government surveillance programs and a comprehensive counterterrorism strategy are vital components of U.S. national security, both home and abroad. So they're supportive of a legitimate surveillance program, but I'm sure they're fine with what's going on. Quote, if the United States is to thwart lone wolf terrorist attacks successfully, it must put effective community outreach operations at the tip of the spear. I agree. You can't allow people to just become disenfranchised and like... on the fringe of society, but I also disagree with the idea that we're going to be able to stop all lone wolf terrorist attacks. They're lone wolves. You don't know what they're doing. They're loners. They're by themselves.
Yeah.
So if nobody's talking to them, how the fuck are you going to know?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that goes along with the outreach thing. But anyway, that was something I wanted to talk about last week, but we had a lot to talk about. It's just interesting that it's only 64. You would think thousands and thousands of plots, the way that it's talked about.
You would think so.
Well, my only issue with that is, again, people shouldn't be plotting terrorist plots. But if you're going to, you would have to assume that there are people looking out for you for planning them. So you have to do it in a more, you know, sneaky way, I guess.
So any terrorist...
Like, you can't be fucking stupid about it.
Any terrorists that are listening, take Joey's advice. Try to be a little more sneaky. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
Thanks, Joey. Thanks, Joey. That was very insightful commentary on the terrorists. All right. That's basically it. I have one more.
Oh, God.
Why? What's the matter?
Nothing.
It's going great.
It is going great.
It's fine. I have one more, and it's not that big a deal, but this dodo, the dodo.com, where I found the thing about the elephants last week.
Kind of like the dodo book?
Also, that's exactly what it's for. I found... Very good, Joey. Dynamite dropping.
Yeah.
This one I also found on there. I saw it on TV, and then I found the link on the dodo, but this commercial set me off. I don't even know what I was watching. But it made me mad because I hate, like we talked about last week, I know I'm not in the same like rare form that I was, but I hate corporatization. I hate fucking over PR nonsense. And this commercial epitomizes that. It's a SeaWorld.
It did it for you?
Yes. It's a SeaWorld commercial that I saw, and it reminded me very much of the BP oil spill commercials.
Oh, God.
It's like, come on down to Louisiana. Like, everything's fine. Like, no, nothing's fine. You're eating Corexit with all those shrimp. All right. So your brain is getting eaten by Corexit. All right, so this is a SeaWorld commercial.
All those shrimp.
I had crawfish. Them
all
eyes
the crawfish.
Fell out.
Yeah, Jesus. They were green.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. It's still a disaster. Yeah. So I'm going to play this SeaWorld commercial. That's it. I just want to shine light on it. We can talk about it, and then I'll be done. But this fucking irritates the shit out of me.
Some facts about SeaWorld we'd like you to know.
Ugh, hold on, I'll start over. That's Lara, who's a veterinarian at
SeaWorld.
She's
cute, though.
She wasn't paid handsomely.
There's some facts about SeaWorld we'd like you to know.
We don't collect killer whales from the wild, and haven't for 35 years.
With the highest standard of animal care in the world, our whales are healthy.
They're thriving.
It wouldn't work
Bullshit.
Here if they weren't.
And government research shows they live just as long as whales in the wild.
That I did research about that. That's extremely unclear. Whales' lifespans vary completely. They can live between like 30 and 80 years, 50 and 100 years. So it all depends. Okay.
Depends on if they smoke 10 or 40 cigarettes a day.
That's right. But not if Chesterfields. If you smoke Marlboros, it might affect you. Chesterfield cigarettes, no adverse effects to the throat or lungs.
Whales, we have a great responsibility to get that right.
And we take it very seriously. Because we love them.
And we know you love them, too.
Ugh, get the facts. Ask SeaWorld.com. Go fuck your mother.
Get the facts from them. Make sure you get the facts from
them. That's what it was.
Nowhere else.
That's awesome.
Right. Like, when the BP... This reminds me so much of the BP thing. It's probably the same idea, the same agency even that did it. When the BP oil spill came, it was like, get the facts. The BP loves oceanclean.com. You know,
BP
it's like,
loves cleanoceans.com. No, dude. We were all watching the news with that pipe spewing for like 9 days
Oh, my God. That's right. The pipe.
Yeah. I would watch that shit
there would
all the
be
time.
Like that live cam. For like 8 days in a row,
and
it was
still
just
going.
Spewing into the Gulf.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd. I wrote just a couple of quick facts to contrast with that 30-second nonsense that they just put on. I fucking hate that commercial. I hate it so much.
I can tell.
It stands for everything that I hate. You are deliberately
lying.
You're just distorting facts, and you're acting as like, we love whales, do you? Then why do you have them in that tiny little cell?
Bullshit.
Why are you doing that? There's also terrible pictures on the
so little children can see them and pet them.
Yeah, here, you want to see a whale that got bit by another whale and then scratched its face on a grate?
No.
If you go to the dodo article, look at that. Does that whale look healthy to you?
No.
No, okay.
That's a SeaWorld one?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I'm going to read you. Multiple recorded injuries and wounds experienced by orca whales in SeaWorld's care. The whales have reportedly suffered physical injuries from chewing on metal grates, overexposure to sun, and interactions with aggressive whales, who, by the way, are aggressive because they're in captivity.
Exactly.
Oh.
I love when a whale eats a trainer every once in a while.
I do,
though.
Too.
It's like my favorite thing in the world.
I do, too. Yeah. Fuck you.
Because you deserve it.
You definitely deserve it. SeaWorld's orca whales can also suffer from, quote, psychosis as a result of captivity. exhibited by repeated stereotypic behavior and anxiety, which is what we dealt with the poor
elephants rocking back and forth.
Yeah, which breaks my heart. Many of the whales were administered diazepam, name for the drug Valium, to temper this behavior. At least one nursing female was given the drug, which is against veterinary guidelines. Obviously,
no,
because you wouldn't give a pregnant woman Valium.
But yeah. Lara's a vet, and she loves the whales, and she treats them right.
The whales love me. Yeah.
Damn right.
The whales love me because I drug them and then I stroke their whale penis and then I go home and I tell my husband he's inferior. What? Lara, that's a weird personal admission to make in this 30-second ad. I don't understand it. All right. So anyway, so fuck SeaWorld. Stay on top of that. If anybody from SeaWorld shows up at your door, kick him in the dick and put him in a whale tank or something.
Yeah. No, we're not into drowning.
I'm not saying drown them. I'm just saying make them
just
swim
kick them in
day
the
and night. Yeah, kick
in
them
a shit tank.
Yep. Ugh. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I have. Andy, do you have anything that you wanted to get to here? We got plenty of time.
We do. I don't know. Joey, do you have anything?
I actually do have one thing I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Didn't.
So we're going to do three warheads as I give the story?
Yeah, I'd love that. And okay. I will say this.
You want to pick out the three warheads?
Just go for it. We don't have to be crazy about it. Just eat three warheads. Right, and just
eat three different kinds, though.
It has to be different kinds.
Yeah.
At the same time and just keep
it
going.
Get the blue raspberry one, too. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Keep it going while you're talking about your stories, which two of them I think I'm excited to talk about, right? We okayed two?
Yes.
I thought we were doing this.
Yeah, we are doing it. It's happening. I'm going to have one. Joe's going to have three or four. Or five while we keep talking here.
This is going to be the most annoying episode ever to listen to with all of us just like sucking on hard candy like it's a retirement home.
It is. It is what it is. Maybe sucking on hard candy like it's a retirement home could be a good possible title. Hold on, Joey.
Okay.
Andrew, you're going to pick a song for the end of the episode. Is that correct?
I already have it picked out.
Really? Actually. What is that song, big guy?
It's Rockefeller by Disco Biscuits. I haven't listened to them in a while, and on the way here today, I listened to it, and it's a really great song.
Never heard of that. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I've heard of Disco Biscuits.
Yeah, I used to go see them like all the time. Like I think I've been to like 85 shows of theirs.
Okay.
Yeah,
we used to do it all the time. That's great. Yeah. I never got into music that way. I love music. It's like a weird thing to say. I love music.
They're a jam band like Fish. So like you go see them like we would go for like 3 weeks at a time, like all over the country, and then come back.
It's cool as fuck.
Be smelly and dirty. Mm-hmm. It was fun though. It was a lot of fun to do.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah, when you're like 19 to like 23.
Very fun. All right, so Rockefeller by Disco Biscuits will close out this episode, a phenomenal episode of the Mandatory Samson Podcast. If you like it, tell a friend, share it. Tell your grandma to listen to it and share it with her nursing home friends, or go to a random mall and play it out of a boombox. Do what you got to do, but share this podcast. Joey, a mouthful of warheads and a brain full of information.
Tart.
All right. So in L.A., there have been seven mysterious signs that say no Kardashian parking anytime. Turns out that there's an artist who's known as Plastic Jesus.
You look uncomfortable.
I am. Who's basically LA's equivalent to Banksy.
Uh-huh.
And he put up these traffic signs.
Which I reject that immediately, that he's anything like Banksy. He's not Banksy.
I know, but that's what they equate him to.
Yeah, because LA. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, because it's LA, exactly. So, he said that the reason he's doing he believes that we've allowed mainstream media to become so profit-driven, we are sacrificing genuinely news stories to satisfy that appetite for celebrity obsessions.
Yeah, we have the who's he referring to there? That me, you, Andy, Evan, all people, we've done that?
Or no, not us.
Has the profit-driven like corporations decided that we don't need to know information? We should just watch Kim Kardashian shake her ass, which, great. As part of a balanced breakfast, Kim Kardashian's ass is not a problem.
No.
If you're mixing in, you know, important things like we talk about on the show, yeah, you can mix in some of the candy, some of the warheads at the end.
Yeah.
It's fine, but whatever. I kind of get the guy's point.
But that like goes back to where like, some people think that like everybody in our generation gets our news from like The Daily Show. You know what I mean? Like that we don't understand that it's satirical, which I
absolutely
think.
But like I was saying, maybe The Daily Show has to understand that it's that some people are just getting the news from them. You got to be a little more serious sometimes and you have to just make a point, make a call to action.
Yeah.
I think we kind of find a balance on this show and I try to do that. Not that I'm comparing us to The Daily Show yet, but I think we do a good job of mixing in funny things.
Yeah.
I think we are light about certain topics. But we also can really get into it. I think that's important.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim. Yes.
So he's also known for other artworks. He turns out to be a photojournalist from London who came to L.A. So he's been piecing out on it.
Is it possible that he is Banksy?
No.
Why not?
Because it's confirmation that he's Plastic Jesus and not Banksy.
You understand
what does that mean?
Yeah,
it says it on his ID. Plastic
I'm just
Jesus.
Say his birth certificate says Plastic Jesus. It could be the same guy. It probably isn't, but I'm just speculating. But you ruined it, guy.
Yes. So he's also known for back in February there was a huge Oscar statue that appeared of a guy on all fours blowing coke. He was the one who did that one,
right? Which that's kind of cool, I guess. Although, what's his point there? Like celebrities do coke. Yeah.
Yes. The other one
they
did
sure do.
Was
yeah,
last year.
They sure do. So
he had an Oscar statue with a needle coming out of it for sophomore Seymour.
I was waiting for this.
Always mess up. These
Philip
names.
Seymour Hoffman.
Hoffman, which was sad.
God rest him. Yeah, I love him. I actually had a great joke. Not a great joke. I'm not going to say that. But I was doing open mics for a while, mm-hmm. and it was right when Philip Seymour Hoffman died. Here, you guys want to hear my joke?
Yeah. Give it to us.
So you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman died, and that sucks. It's like it's really sad because that guy was a phenomenal actor and just a good guy, and it's sad to see him die. It's like, but it just makes me wonder, like, why can't shitty actors die instead, like a Paul oh never mind. Got good responses.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty funny joke.
It's not bad, right? Yeah,
except that it is about Paul Walker though.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, God rest him.
Yes,
it's just a joke.
And then the other famous
God rest him or whatever.
And then
too dead too soon. Gotcha.
And the last piece of artwork he's known for is graffiti of Lance Armstrong cycling with an attached HIV bag.
HIV? No, an IV.
IV bag. IV
what the
bag.
Hell is an HIV bag?
I meant IV bag. Full of HIV circulating through your veins.
Run away! Lance Armstrong has a bag of AIDS! All right. So, okay. So.
Alphabet soup. That's what Yamanika called it yesterday, and I was laughing my ass off.
That's hilarious. Yamanika Saunders, host of Ranting and Raving.
And
I was going to say.
Funny Girls on Oxygen.
Great. She's great on it. It's really good. It premiered Monday,
yes,
or
did.
Tuesday, rather. I think it's every Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Watch
you guys
it.
Should check it out, Funny Girls. And you should also check out Ranting and Raving with Yamanika and friends, Side-Eye, Chloe, Hilliard. Joey, you got one more story,
yes.
Correct?
Should I pop in two, three
more? I was going to suggest throw in a couple more of those warheads, and let's finish this off strong.
All right.
Listen, everybody listening, I hope you're enjoying this episode. Last week's episode got a lot of comments, as I think it should have, because we got pretty serious about a lot of stuff. The amount of like rattling and nonsense in the background is unbelievable. I don't even know what I was going to say. Forget it. Joey, put the warheads in and let's continue with the program.
Okay.
Ugh. Oh, how are you even doing? How many have you had?
I lost count.
A lot. It actually warns on the thing. It's like if your name starts with J and you eat more than 12, you're probably going to be in the morgue.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Oh, God.
So a blogger gets 20 years.
Right.
Her name is Lacey Spears. She's 27. She has been sentenced for 20 years in prison because she virtually killed her 5-year-old son.
What? Virtually killed? Like in The Sims?
No. She killed her 5-year-old son.
Oh, that's not
Turns
funny.
Out,
how'd she virtually kill him then?
She did kill him.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. I'm on
oh my god.
Joey's fucking dying right now. Ugh.
Keep going, Joey.
Alright. So the kid had a feeding tube.
This is my favorite bit that we've done on the show for sure.
So the kid has a feeding tube and she was putting salt in the feeding tube.
It's so funny that you're just laughing hysterically about the murder of a child.
I can't stop it.
So not right. This is a serious story. She was a blogger, and she was blogging about how sick the kid was. He had a feeding tube, and she would used to put salt in it. So after 5 years of the kid being tortured, he finally died.
Oh, that poor
oh my
kid. That's
God.
Actually horrific. Yeah.
I'm actually crying.
You're a sick fuck that you would laugh through that. That is a terrible story.
So the answer is if you have 6 warheads in your mouth, you will cry.
I'm sorry, Joey.
That's actually a terrible story.
Yeah, it is.
What is that Munchausen syndrome? Well, what was wrong with the kid? Why was he on a feeding tube to begin with?
It virtually was like Munchausen syndrome, that she was getting off and getting the kids sick, and she was trying to profit from it, from being a blog and writing it about the...
Wow, what a sick fuck.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But it turns out she does have a mental disorder.
Clearly, yeah.
But I can't pronounce it, so I didn't write it down.
Do you put one more warhead in? You're getting punished for that. You write it down at least, so that way we can pretend to know what you're talking about. Okay. Well, that's what you wanted to end the show with. This mom killed her kid with salt.
Yes, bro.
Ew.
But I didn't think my entire mouth was going to be full of warhead.
Ah, well, it sure is. That happened.
All right. Well. I think this was a great episode.
I do, too. I really liked the ending to that. That felt good. I think we touched some good topics. This was less of a intense episode. Like, last week we had a very intense episode, and I encourage you to go back and listen to it if you haven't heard it.
But, yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Some of the redness is starting to come out of your face, so that's a little bit better.
We're good, because it did get intense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it looked intense, real intense.
I'll be honest with you, if one single warhead had the power of 8 of them, that are in my mouth right now, that would be impressive.
Oh, well, super warheads, you're suggesting. All right, we'll get on that. We'll talk to the warheads people. Everybody that is listening, thank you for listening. We truly appreciate it. This is so fun every week for us to come in. I get excited all week. I bookmark shit. I'm like, Andy, you got stories? Yeah, I got something to talk about. We're going to get warheads for Joey. Joey's pumped. He's always got something. It's great, and we really appreciate it. We love that you guys are enjoying the show.
Yeah, man.
Our subscriptions are going up. I think our plays are going up. It's great. If you'd like to subscribe, go to soundcloud.com/mandatorySamson. Like I mentioned, share it with your friends. They're probably going to like this show too.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't? You can also go on dailymotion.com/standupnewyorklabs. You can watch us live every Thursday at 4 o'clock. You could have seen Joey just torture himself with 600 warheads.
And crying. And crying. Men don't cry. Men don't cry.
No, that's not true. Men.
I just saw a man cry. Yeah, like just 30 seconds ago.
Right. You cried. I said I cried the other night. It's like we're all crying.
Yeah, we cried.
Okay. Dailymotion.com/standupnewyorklabs. You can check us out. You can watch full episodes. You can watch all the other shows that we have out. There's full episodes up all the time. John Fatigate is just slaving away, editing video, posting it. You guys will really enjoy them, I think, if you check them out.
Absolutely.
You can also follow Stand Up New York Labs, the Mandatory Samson podcast, and all the other shows at Audio Boom. It's a very cool service. The app is really good. I like it. But make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud. Go on Twitter. You can talk to us. I'm at ManSamp. You can tell Joey, at Joey from Jersey, Jersey with a Z, how many warheads you've had today. And ask him how his mouth is feeling, because I'm sure he has no taste buds left.
No, that's going to be awful. Like, I had three, and, like, I can't have any more today if I'm going to, like, enjoy a Gatorade later.
Yeah, I've had three, four, maybe over the last 3-4 hours, and it's very uncomfortable already.
Yeah, I don't want to touch anything anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. at A underscore Lozzi, L-O-Z-Z-I. You can get him on Twitter.
Yep.
You can also, like I mentioned, mandatorysamson@gmail.com, and you can get at me on Snapchat at ManSamp.
Yep.
I love it. Joe, you're on Snapchat?
Yeah, Joey from Jersey with a Z.
Jesus, the amount of saliva that's in your mouth is sickening and horrifying.
Joey from Jersey with a Z.
Andy, you're not on Snapchat, but you got to get on it.
No, I'm going to get an iPhone 6 like next week. So I get the 6, I'll put Snapchat on there and I'll get cracking. And it'll probably be by the same name.
Nice.
So, I think today was a good episode.
All right. Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
I thoroughly enjoyed this, Joey. Thank you for making that sacrifice.
You're welcome. How many of them you think I had? I counted. Anybody?
I think you had upwards of 14. I said 14.
I had 9 apparently.
I was going to say 9. I guess that's not fair because I was passing them out, but I wasn't counting them.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, okay. Well, Joey, wow. So 9 really decimated you.
That's a lot.
That's rough. Okay. Yeah. So keep that in mind. 9 or less warheads and you're going to be good to go. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We're going to close the show with Rockefeller by Disco Biscuits, and we will talk to you all next week.